Today. This morning is the beginning, the very beginning, the first of a sermon series called Let's Talk. And it's about relationships. And you know, we spend September and October on relationships to try to get you plugged back in because everybody is on their summer vacation and they're running to and fro and most people aren't communicating with anybody. And then come September, all the breaks come on and everybody's all of a sudden has to talk to one another. Summertime's over, vacations are over, kids actually have to talk to parents, parents actually have to talk to kids. It just kind of brings everybody in and they get on a schedule. And we start life again. Amen? How many are excited to see school start? Yeah, I even got some students, man. Usually it's all parents, but I got some students that are like, yes, I am ready to start. As I looked at this series this year and I thought, okay, what am I going to do to really... I really want to grab you guys and just shake you up. Now, I really want to grab you and pull you in and get you thinking about relationships. Because, you know, the truth is, it doesn't matter what you have, what you own, where you go. If people are not involved, it can get pretty lonely and boring. Amen? Now, there are times where you can go on vacation and you can forget everybody exists, and it is such a joy. I won't lie to you. I did right about 5,000 miles in the month of August on my motorcycle. Well, the coolest thing about riding a motorcycle is you don't get to talk to anyone. And so for me, for the month of August, it was just a pleasure to unplug. And so there are times where we go, okay, we just need to unplug, we just need to sit down and we need to be still, we need to know that He is God, we need to be refreshed and renewed and reminded, and then we get back into our everyday lives and then we have to deal with people, but when you're refreshed and when you're renewed, it's a sweet thing to do. And so when we, and by the way, listen, you can come into this building, I come into this building and it's empty all the time, and it's just that, it's just four walls and it's empty. But when people get here, life begins to happen. Amen? The jokes begin and the hugs and the handshakes and the hellos and the reuniting of relationships start kindling. Man, I haven't seen y'all summer. I mean, I've seen Mike. I haven't seen Mike. And he's been such a backslider for about 6 months. No, I'm kidding. I told him, I go, man, I haven't seen him in so long. And man, I just gave him a hug and it was so good to see him again. I've seen Ray. Ray's been backsliding, and I've seen him this morning, and I was like, yeah, man, it's so good. I'm busting your chops. And I was like, man, it's so good to see you, and I give him a hug. People mean everything. And so if we're going to grow in life and excel in life, we need to understand relationships. Amen? Somebody say amen. There you go. Let's get everybody on board and awake. So this morning, I thought, what a better topic to start out with on relationships than attitude. And you say, well, what's attitude got to do with relationships? Listen, your attitude will either cause that relationship to bloom, or it'll be acidic and you'll kill it. Your attitude at work will either be great or cause it to really be bad. Your attitude with your family will cause it to be either really good or really bad. And so I thought, you know what, this year, what is the key component in every relationship and every topic that we're going to talk about for the next 7 weeks after today? And it's attitude. Attitude. What's so big about attitude? Proverbs 23:7. The majority of all these you're going to see up here, guys, so don't race through your Bibles until we get into, I'll tell you when. Anyway, Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. I just want to stop there. The rest of the verse is fine, but I don't need it right now. I just want the beginning of that verse. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. Listen, what you guys think, that is what you become. Thoughts become actions. You know, my pastor in North Carolina, when we lived there, and I would I would tell them all the time, man, listen, I want I want a brand new Z71 four-wheel drive, four-door Chevrolet pickup truck. I'll settle for a GMC because I like those too. They're actually better than a Chevy, but that's beside the point. And so, I want leather interior. I want Bose stereo. Listen, I want the full package. And I was joking with him one day and told him that, and he said, thoughts are things. You focus on it long enough, you'll make it happen. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. My desires change. My thought of still wanting that truck is there, but my desire of pursuing it is not. And so as we look at this and we see that thoughts are things, and what's in your heart, that's what you're going to live out. And listen, it's not only toward things, it's toward people. If you have a negative attitude toward someone and you don't adjust that, I'm going to tell you that negative attitude is going to cause your attitude to be horrific, which is going to cause the relationship to have issues. And some of you sit here today and you go, I don't have a bad attitude. It is so-and-so. Well, that's the first clue. It's you. You have to, every one of us we have to adjust something. Every one of us. There comes a point with every relationship where we have to adjust something, because the truth is that there are things that people do that irritate us, that cause us to have a negative attitude, and then our negative attitude feeds on the negativity, and then every time we see them, it just keeps feeding back and forth. And if we don't check this attitude, it will become dominant in our actions, and we'll blame them for starting it, but the truth is we need to blame ourselves for keeping it. Okay? And so today, attitude. I want to look at attitude, and I want to see that I think the first thing is, the most important thing in this world is relationship with Jesus Christ, bar none, that Jesus is your Savior. And I think the second most important thing in life is your attitude, because it will dictate everything that follows. It will even dictate your relationship with Jesus. Your attitude. Why is it so important? Because you control it. You and only you. Listen, I can sway you, and I can come into a room. Have you ever been in a room and everybody's having a party and it's like, yes, great time, and then somebody walks in the room and they bring this negative attitude with them, and all of a sudden the party just goes, phew. You guys know what I'm talking about? So what do? We throw them out. No, I'm kidding. So we have to be, we want to throw them out, amen. But we have to keep a check on attitudes, because we will determine the atmosphere. We'll determine the relationship. And so guys, if you want a quality relationship with people, then you need to check your attitude. And it goes both ways. You can't just be blaming the other one, because the truth is, it is both of us. Amen? And so I put down here, your attitude will make or break you. It will heal or hurt you. Did you get that? Your attitude will heal you or it will hurt you. And as long as you keep negative thoughts and that negative, I hate to use the word energy, but you get what I'm saying, because I feel like using that word is from the psychic group upstairs. But that negative energy, and it is, it's an energy that you put off or that you bring in, that negative energy, I promise you, it will hurt you. And usually the part that hurts you is the woe is me attitude. Oh, you don't know the trouble I've seen. You know, right? Or Eeyore. The negative attitude, man, we bring it on ourselves and we keep it and we hold it. And then people come around you and they don't want to be around you. And so they make excuses to get away from you. And then you get more of a negative attitude going, nobody likes me. Well, the truth is, we like you. We just don't like your attitude. And so you have to adjust that, because you don't want it. Listen, you want your attitude to heal you and other people. You don't want it to hurt. Your attitude will help you make friends or make enemies. Your attitude will help you to be happy or miserable. It will help you to be a success or a failure. That's how crucial your attitude is. Guys, if you got a negative attitude and somebody comes up and says, hey, your attitude stinks, Well, first off, they should have had a better attitude than to say it that way. But there are some times where you just kind of need to go, hey, wake up. Man, your attitude is horrible. Why do you have such a negative attitude? And then, of course, the response is, I don't have a negative attitude. Sure you don't. Adjust the attitude. We have to adjust the attitude. Okay, so we're going to look at three facts about our attitude. Number one, your attitude reveals your heart. It reveals your heart. We already read in Proverbs 23:7, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You know what I realized is, beside the fact that I couldn't use this water bottle because they shaved the lid down so thin that it would fly off and somebody would get wet. But here's what I realized, that your attitude exposes who you are. Your attitude shows who you are. Your attitude exposes your heart. It exposes your motives. It exposes everything about you. So if I were to shake this water bottle up and water comes out, the question is, why did the water come out? The water came out because that's what's in it. Do you understand what I'm saying? The water comes out of this because there's water in it. And as a man thinks, it comes out. It comes out of his heart. It comes out of his mouth. Why does it come out? Because that's what's in him. And so if there's negativity in you, if there's hurt in you, and a bad attitude, and all this negativity that you want to impose on other people because you're hurting or because you're frustrated, guess what? It's going to come out. And it's going to expose the real you. And the truth is, you can only contain it for so long. And then the real you comes out. And people are going to make judgments on you. Why? Well, because you showed them the real you. Water did not come out of this because the lid was loose. Water came out of this because there's water in it. And we can use all these excuses that we want. Well, she made me do it, or he made me do it. No, the truth is, that was what's in you. And it came out. The pressure is what brought it out. When there's no pressure, we can contain our attitude pretty good, can't we? When there's no pressure, we can come in and smile, and hey, and we're all happy-go-lucky, and the life is good, and the world is round, and everybody's happy about it. But when the pressure comes on us, and all of a sudden we go, whoa, I've never seen a side of them like that before. Well, pressure is what causes that. Why does a volcano erupt? It's pressure. And 9 times out of 10, when we explode, when we start showing our real attitude toward things, it's usually destructive. And it's usually a mess. But the truth is, it comes out because that's what's in. Matthew 15:17-20. Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. I want you to see here, guys. The Word of God, look at this. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. It's not what goes in you that defiles you, or into your stomach that defiles you. It is what you put into your mind will defile you. Listen, you can't go look at things you shouldn't be looking at and expect it not to interfere with the way you think. You just can't do it. And so what happens is you start feeding your mind and you start feeding yourself, and then what's going to happen is it's going to come out and it's going to defile you. And that's what the Bible's talking about here. Listen, you can't put garbage in and expect godliness out. You just can't do it. Next verse. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. And of course, he's referencing the disciples. They were eating. They didn't wash their hands. They were walking along the path, and there was things of the field there to eat, and they picked it up, and they ate it, and the Pharisees saw them. Then, of course, they wanted to make accusations. He didn't wash his hands. And Jesus says, hold on. Listen, I'm not concerned with eating food with unwashed hands. I'm concerned with what comes out of your mouth, because what comes out of your mouth is from your heart. That's what I'm concerned with, because that's what's defiling you. And so, guys, listen, what I'm trying to tell you on your attitude is we can make the adjustments, and we can have a bad attitude or a good attitude, but I'm going to tell you it's completely determined upon what you allow to go in. It's the circumstances that you put yourself into that's going to determine your attitude. It's are you ready for this? Oh, this right here is going to fire everyone up. This right here is going to twist you like a little pretzel. Because the truth is, if you have a bad attitude, it's because you're incredibly selfish. Oh, you didn't like that one, did you? I'll move on. Not really. Listen, guys, if we don't get our own way, our attitude immediately stinks. You know, I'll pick on kids today because kids are like, I want this. No. Right? And then we go in this huge hissy fit and everything. And then finally the parents are like, oh, my goodness, here, just be quiet. The bad attitude, it comes out because we're incredibly selfish 99% of the time. I was reading articles and I wanted to find out the things the top things that really hinder a relationship. And one of the things that really hinders relationships is actually number three or number four of the top 10. It's called stonewalling. Anybody know what that is? Okay, I'm going to help you just in case you didn't know. I brought the answer with me. So here's what it is. We don't get our own way. We get a negative attitude, and then we stonewall. We build a wall, and I'm not talking to you. You have made me angry. I didn't get my own way. We're done. It's funny. I was talking to Howie, and he said he was moving to Florida. I said, man, I'm done talking to you. I'm not talking to you no more. And I walked away. It was pretend stonewalling, but that's one of the biggest issues in relationships. You made me mad, and I'm not talking to you anymore. You hurt my feelings. I didn't get my own way. And we stonewall. I found it incredibly interesting. Attitude. What makes you think you deserve your own way? If you're in a relationship, you're usually to make it about somebody else, not about you. And so what we realize through the scriptures is that our attitudes become our actions or reactions, and then that speaks much louder than any words you'll ever say. If you come in a house and you're like, and I say, hey, what's wrong? And you go, nothing. How many believe nothing's wrong? It's like, really? Nothing's wrong? No, you got an attitude problem. Understand, we don't have an attitude just because we had a bad day. All that a bad day can ever do is shake our jar, shake our bottle, expose our attitude. It just shows us what's inside. Number one, your attitude reveals your heart. Number two, our attitude determines the success and failure of every relationship in your life. Do you realize that? Your attitude determines the success or failure in every relationship in our life. Every one of them. It's your marriage, your relationship with your kids, your work relationship, church relationships, your friends. It's funny, I had people leave the church, and then they were asked, well, why did you leave the church? Well, because I was walking down the hall, and I said hello, and they never spoke back to me. Okay. Like, what do you do with that? Here's what it is. It's a selfish attitude. Amen. We've made it about us. One of my favorite quotes is that never judge a book by the chapter you walked in on. We don't know what's going on in people's lives. And then all of a sudden, one little thing, and we judge somebody, and we have a poor attitude, and we make it all about us, and we destroy the relationship. Shouldn't be. As we go through this relationship series, guys, you're going to see, and the reason that I pulled attitude today, and I started with attitude today, is because every part of every relationship that you are in, you are going to have to check yourself. You're going to have to look at your attitude. You're going to have to ask yourself, man, am I being godly or am I being ungodly? Am I making this all about me? Or have I thought about them just for a moment? Your attitude will absolutely determine your actions, and your actions will absolutely determine the relationship. You can't separate it. You cannot separate it at all. I mean, I wish we could, but the truth is, we can't have, listen, you get around an Eeyore long enough, you either begin to act like Eeyore, or you will run as far as you can every time you see Eeyore coming. Amen? I'm telling you, the stink will either wash off on you, or you will choose not to have any part of it, and you'll run. And you can't blame the person for running from an Eeyore. I want you to look up Numbers 12, 1 through 11. Numbers 12, 1 through 11. And the reason I'm having you go there, even though this is going to be up on the board, is that you can mark it. Numbers 12, 1. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. So let me give you the background here. Miriam is the sister of Moses. Aaron is the brother of Miriam and Moses. Miriam has an attitude problem. She's got a bad attitude problem, actually. She is quite irritated because of who Moses married. Now, how many here get irritated from somebody that a relative or a friend married? Anybody? Come on, be honest, right? Yeah, you're like, I can't stand them. There's always that one, right? And so that's what's happening with Miriam. She's like, I can't stand Moses' wife. Here in 12:2. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Now, so Miriam calls Aaron. Hey, Aaron, dude, get over here. I need to talk to you. Oh, no, she texts him, actually. Come on over, I need to talk to you. And so they get together, right? Miriam gets a hold of Aaron, and they sit down. And all of a sudden, they start, against Moses. And so Miriam has this attitude, and what does she do? She draws Aaron in with her attitude. And now both of them have an attitude. You ever be a part of that? Right? Where somebody's mad, and so they draw you in to be mad with them? And then it usually is not good. So you need to be careful of that. And it wasn't good here. Look here in 12:3. Now, the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Listen, here's what it's saying. Moses did not deserve Miriam and Aaron's attitude. Are you seeing that? It was undeserved. Go ahead, 4. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron and Miriam, wouldn't it be so cool for God to just go, hey, listen, I need to talk to you. What's up? This is what's going on. This is what you're going to do, and this is how it's going to unfold. Got it? Good. All right. Fist bump. You're awesome. Let's go. All right. Wouldn't it be so cool to have God do that? That's what's happened here with Moses. God goes to Moses, and you go, I don't think that's how it is. Well, hold on. I'm going to show you through Scripture. Suddenly the Lord said, maybe without the fist bump, but anyway. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of a cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. I don't know about you, but I'd be shaking pretty hard right about now. Right? Who wants that? You know God's upset. And they both went forward. Then he said, hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. Look here in 8. I speak to him face to face. I was a little excited. You might want to turn me down just a touch, guys. Or it might be these things. He says, I speak to him face to face. How cool is that? Okay, for me, that was pretty cool. And then he says, even plainly. Listen, I didn't leave this up to guesswork. I told Moses exactly what I wanted, exactly the way it's supposed to look, exactly what he's supposed to do. There's no guesswork in this. And I looked him face to face. That's how I talked to Moses. Now you, I'm going to talk to you through a pillar of cloud like this because you know why? You got an attitude and I'm going to fix it. Look where he says. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? He's godly. Why aren't you afraid to speak against him? So the anger of the Lord was aroused against him and he departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. Now, why was it Miriam that was turned into a leper? Well, because Miriam had a poor attitude, and she baited Aaron with a poor attitude. Then both of them had a poor attitude, and God says, listen, rather than dealing with this whole mess, I'm just going to deal with the core. And Miriam right now is the core of a poor attitude. See how God thinks of a poor attitude? Okay, maybe I'm the only one that sees it, but I'm thinking I don't want it. Go ahead to 11. So Aaron said to Moses, "Oh my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us in which we have done foolishly and in which we have sinned." Here's what we have. You have Miriam causes chaos, causes a problem. Why? It's because the truth is she was jealous over Moses' leadership. She had an issue with Moses being the leader. Miriam's thinking, who is he? I know Moses. She had already judged him. She had already accused him falsely. She turned her brother against him. She was against him. And she used the excuse, well, I don't like his wife. The truth is, she had personal issues. And the truth is, most of us had poor attitudes, not because of what was done to us, but because of the way we react to it. And we don't like it, and so therefore we react negative to it. And when we react negative to it, we literally destroy ourselves. We become the leper. Because what happens is you cause hurt feelings, and then once feelings are caused, guess what? We tend to say, well, I'm not going to forgive you. And we hold on to it. So it can become a cancer and kill us. And yet we blame them. And the truth is, it's within our own heart that causes the problems. See, the problem is, it wasn't the wife that shook Miriam's jar or bottle for the water to come out. It was her selfish desire to be the leader. That's what shook it. She just used the wife as an excuse. What's your excuse for your poor attitude, if you have one? How are you going to fix it? By the way, one of the sermons in this series is about forgiveness. So hang in there. You'll like that one. Most people don't, but you'll like it. So the first one we looked at is your attitude reveals the real you. The second one, attitude determines success or failure of every relationship in your life. And then the third one is your attitude is always your choice. Did you get that? Your attitude is always your choice. We can't blame others. A man went up to a soldier who had lost his leg, and he says, "Don't you find it tragic that you lost your leg in war for this country?" And he says, "Stop right there, sir. I didn't lose my leg in a war for this country. I gave my leg in a war for this country." Whole different attitude, isn't it? We have to be very, very careful. The choice will be ours. What we focus on, we feed, we nurture, and that's what will come out. Norman Cousins tells of being hospitalized with a rare crippling disease. When he was diagnosed as incurable, Cousins checked out of the hospital. Aware of harmful effects that negative emotions can have on the body, Cousins reasoned the reverse was true. So he borrowed a movie projector and prescribed his own treatment, consisting of Marx Brothers films and old candid camera reruns. It didn't take long for him to discover that 10 minutes of laughter provided 2 hours of pain-free sleep. Amazingly, his debilitating disease was eventually reversed. After the account of his victory appeared in the New England Journal of Medicine, Cousins received more than 3,000 letters from appreciative physicians throughout the world. This attitude. Rockefeller. One of the richest men in the world, and yet his stomach, he couldn't eat, he couldn't hold things down, he was losing weight, he was getting sick, they said he was going to die. They put him on this strict diet of basically just crackers and, you know, he couldn't eat much food. He couldn't have any spices or anything like that. And he thought, oh my goodness. And he was miserable. And so then one day he decided, you know what? I am just going to go out and I'm going to give my fortune away. I'm going to start blessing other people. He got so excited about giving to other people. His attitude completely changed. And you know what? He regained his health 100%. Why? Because his attitude, the way he thought, changed. And instead of making it all about him, he made it about somebody else. Guys, I'm telling you, man, you the way you think and what you do will absolutely determine your life. It will determine your misery. It will determine your joy. It will determine how every relationship in your life comes together. Your attitude will determine all of it. Have you ever walked into a place and you had a bad day or a negative attitude and you've run into somebody who didn't, and next thing you know, they got you laughing and you're forgetting all about your problems? Anybody ever seen one of those? That's what we need to be. We need to be the one. Why? Well, we have the joy of the Lord. Amen? We have hope, and we have a promise, and we have life. Listen, God said, I have given you life that you might enjoy all things. We ask for all things to enjoy life. Bad attitude. Bad way of looking at it. If we took and said, okay, here is life and I'm going to enjoy it to the fullest and I'm going to enjoy it every way that I can, I'm going to tell you, your whole mentality would change. Your negativity would go to positivity. Your abuse would now stop. You would stop abusing and you would start healing. I'm telling you guys, we can make the difference. Why? Well, because we have God. We have joy. We have hope. We have a reason. I have a gentleman on my Facebook page who is an atheist. And some of you, if you're on Facebook, you know, oh my goodness, man, he is that thorn in my side with a drill on it. I mean, he's just, sometimes it takes everything I got to deal with him. And people are like, why don't you delete him? And you know, the truth is, in the flesh, man, I want to click delete, unfriend, yeah, boop, out of here. Like, that's really what I want to do sometimes. But I won't do it. I'll never unfriend him unless he just gets vulgar. And here's why. He challenges me. Do I really believe what I believe? And how am I going to respond to his ignorance? His spiritual ignorance. Because he's a very intelligent man. He's just lost, man. He's as they say, he's lost as Hogan's goat. And you say, well, who's Hogan's goat? That's how lost he is. Nobody knows. He's just out there, right? And he's like, but I have the truth. And I go, no, I have the truth. And then he challenges other people that are on my Facebook. And so my attitude, every now and then, I have to look at it and I have to adjust it when I respond to him. Because the truth is, like yesterday, I went, oh. Delete. Felt better. I got it out, right? But I checked my attitude because my attitude was about to destroy everything. And there are some times where I'll write stuff down and then I'll ask my wife to read it. Hey, babe, come over here and read this. And she reads it and she's like, ooh, that's pretty harsh. Delete. Because in my mind, it said everything I wanted it to say and I didn't care if I crushed you. But the truth is, I do care. But when I think about me and I just want to be right, all of a sudden it doesn't matter. And I pull somebody else in. Hey, check this out. Oh, I wouldn't do that. Okay, delete. Listen, our choice. You can't choose what will happen to you today, but you can choose how you respond to it. You can't choose how people are going to act, but you can choose how you respond to them. If you want successful relationships in this life, you have to make the adjustments to you. We have to. Each one of us. Because if we don't adjust our actions and we don't adjust our attitudes, we will ultimately destroy our relationships. Funny how in families, those are the ones we usually have the worst attitudes with, isn't it? Well, you're married to me and you're not allowed to divorce me, so therefore you have to put up with me. You need high-fived in the face. We need to put up with you in a jar with a lid on it tight. Okay, maybe we'll put an air hole in it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's our attitude, how it feels. Come on, how many have felt that way before? Don't raise your hand. All right. So, but listen, we seem to abuse the ones we love the most, don't we? Our attitude is the worst with them. I know if I'm not careful, if I've had a bad day, I go home and I take it out on my family. And then if you come and you knock on the door, all of a sudden I'm all pastor again. Hey, how you doing? Everything's good. Come on in. And on the inside, I'm like, why don't you leave? Because I don't want to talk to you either. Right? On the inside, that's how you really feel. I'm not the only one. I'm just saying it out loud. Amen. How many have been there?
Amen.
Oh, you guys are being so reluctant. Like, I'm going to be nice. I'm going to listen. No matter what you're facing, the choice of your attitude is yours. When when Tori went off to college, it still kills me. That's crazy. I told her, I said, I have one piece of advice for you. I've already raised you up. My oldest daughter, I've already raised you up. And here's my piece of advice. You will live and you will die by your decisions. Nobody else is going to pay the price. Nobody else is going to be held responsible. You will be. And so you always count the cost and make sure you can pay the price before you make the decision. That's the only advice that I could give my daughter, because, you know, the truth is, with both of my girls, I've already raised them up. I've already poured everything I could into them. Whether they choose to follow it or not follow it is their decision. Whether good or bad comes from their decision, it is because of their decision. And I'm going to tell you the same thing, guys. Your choices are going to determine what happens. And your attitude is going to determine your choices. You cannot escape that. You cannot change that. And those choices that you make are going to determine the relationships that you have. It's just going to happen. It is absolutely going to happen. Nothing you can do to change that fact. The only thing you can do is make sure that your choices are good. You keep your attitude in check, your choices are good, so that you can control some of the outcomes. And even if it's a bad outcome from your good choice, you still keep your attitude in check and deal with it. Every relationship is dependent upon your attitude. One man said, to blame our bad attitudes on someone else or on a difficult circumstance is a cop-out. Your attitude reveals the real you, determines the success of every relationship, and your attitude is always your choice. Always. That's a good thing, guys. Amen? That's a good thing. We can wake up and say, hey, I'm not going to let this happen. Or we can wake up and let whatever's happened determine our lifestyle or our life choices, allow it to beat us down, and then we can go beat somebody up. I mean, it's going to be up to us. All right, so steps that will help you become more positive. That's what I want to do. Take 5 minutes real quick, and I want to give you the steps that's going to help you. Number one, start speaking positive words. You have to learn to speak positive words. And you go, learn, listen, it is a process. If you're used to being negative, it's going to take some work to be positive. Amen? I was talking to a gentleman, and he was like, hey, I want to start reading the Bible. Where do I start? And I'm like, dude, you're talking my language. And so I showed him, and I bought him a Bible, and I bought him a commentary, just a short, concise commentary. And I said, here, man, this is going to help you, and this is where you were reading. So he comes in the next day, or a couple days later, and I talked to him. I go, hey, did you start reading? I told him to read in John. Hey, did you start reading in John? I started, but man, I fell asleep. I just can't read. And I go, dude, here's the problem. You don't read, so your brain's not used to reading, so your body's not used to reacting to reading, and it's what you want to do is fall asleep. So here's what you have to do. You have to learn to stay awake to keep reading. You have to discipline yourself. You have to exercise those muscles to keep reading. And if you do that, it's an amazing, wonderful world that you're going to have. Don't come in here and give me the excuse every time I read I fall asleep. It's because you don't read. Listen, if you go to gym and you exercise and you work out and then all of a sudden you leave and you go, oh, I hurt so bad, I can't work out. Well, the reason you hurt is because you don't work out and your muscles aren't used to it. And once you get them used to it, then you can go out there and you can be the beast that Larry is. That's how it works. But mentally, you have to teach yourself to speak positively. And the truth is, that doesn't come naturally. Amen? Most of us are negative as a whole, are we not? So the first thing you got to do is speak positive, and how you speak positive is you eliminate negative words. Now there are times where you got to just look at somebody and go, hey, listen, I'll pull a mirror out to say this. You're a jerk. You know, there's times that you just got to do that. And those are not, and you go, well, that's not a positive word. No, but you know what? Sometimes we wake people up, but we don't just leave it there. We have to give them some encouragement. Number two, we have to look for the good. So we have to speak the positive and we got to look for the good. There's good in everything. There's good in everything. A farmer went into his banker and announced that he had bad news and good news. First, the bad news. Well, said the farmer, I can't make my mortgage payments, and that crop loan that I've taken out for the past 10 years, I can't pay that off either. Not only that, I won't be able to pay you the couple of $100,000 that I still have outstanding on my tractors and other equipment. So I'm going to have to give up the farm and turn it all over to you for whatever you can salvage out of it. Silence prevailed for a minute, and then the banker said, what's the good news? The good news is that I'm going to keep on banking with you, said the farmer. You have to find the positive in everything. And you look for the good in every situation. Number three, take charge of your thought life. Take charge of your thought life. The Bible says that we are to take captive anything that's negative and takes us down the wrong road. I'm telling you, take charge of your thought life. Some people are like, hey, you know what? Man, I can't control this, and this is what comes in, and this has just got to be what it is. No. Take charge of it. Take charge of it. You do not have the freedom to think crazy and then act it out on everyone else. You don't have that freedom. Take charge of your thought life. So there's three things that you can do to take charge of your thought life. I tried to put this in where it would be good, where you could remember it. And it's the three F's. Number one, fix. Don't worry about it. Pray about it. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for what He's done. Fix the problem. Quit making excuses for it to be there. Fix it. Just fix it. You go, I don't know how to fix it. Well, then call on God, who does know how to fix it, and have patience to wait on Him to answer you and show you. The problem is, we call on God like, God, I need an answer. This is my problem. What do you think? Oh, you're not going to answer me? Fine, I'll fix it myself. No, you got to stop. You have to be still. Know that He is God and wait on Him. How many times you run into a problem today and you call because you want an answer and then nobody's there to answer the phone and you're like, whoa, and you call back and nobody, and you call back and nobody, whoa, and we want an answer now. We have become this microwave society, this instant society. And guys, I'm telling you, real life just doesn't operate like that. People come and ask me for a question, and I'll say, here's what you need to do. They're going to make a big choice or a big decision in their life, and they go, and I say, well, you need to take 30 days and pray about it. Oh, I don't have 30 days. I got to know by tomorrow. No. You need to take 30 days and pray about it. No, I need an answer now. No, you need to take 30 days and pray about it. Well, tomorrow the offer won't be there. Well, then maybe you don't need it. Take time to pray about it. And then I'll call them up, hey, you still praying about that? No, I went ahead and took care of it that same day. How's it working out? Well, it wasn't that good of a decision, but, you know, I guess we'll just deal with it now. How many have been down that road? Man, you need to fix it. You give it to God, and you do what you can do, and then you give the rest to God. Philippians 4, 6 through 9. Philippians 4, there you go. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you get that? God says, bring it all to me and I'll protect you. But when we don't take it to him and we get this attitude of we're just going to do it ourselves, and then what happens is we leave God out and God's like, hey, I didn't protect you because you didn't ask. Number 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there is any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. If we're going to fix this, we have to control our thoughts. We have to take charge of our thought life, and we have to think on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the peace of God will be with you. That is a promise from God. Do you guys get that? That's a promise. Quit being a lone ranger. The second thing is, the first one is to fix. You take care of your thought life. You fix your thought life. The second thing is filter. Filter. If you really want to take control of your life, you need to filter the garbage that goes in. Filter the garbage that's in you. How many have ever been in a place and you go in and you're like, oh my goodness, there's so much chaos here, I just can't deal with it, right? And you get out and you breathe and you're like, whoo, I don't know how anybody can live like that. It's so chaotic.
Yes.
Eliminate that. Eliminate that. Filter what you allow in. Filter the good from the bad. And by the way, let me just say this. Just because somebody you love makes a really bad decision and they have put you in the middle of it does not mean you need to stay in the middle of it. You need to tell them, hey, you know, you kind of dug this hole. I'm going to let you fill it back in. Well, I can't do that. It's my child. It's my family. It's my friend. It's not your problem. Well, that's not too Christian-like. Oh, no, it is. You need to filter what you allow to come into your life that is destroying your life. And that means sometimes cutting off some relationships. You have to filter it, guys. Because you made poor management decisions does not constitute an emergency on my part. So we need to filter what we allow to come in to our minds and what we allow to come into our lives. And then the third one is, so we have fix, we have filter, and then the third one is feed. Feed. What are you feeding your mind? It's funny, we went to a volleyball game one time, and the guy was there, and he's like, hey, John, I got a question for you. I went, okay. And he's like, every time I open or close my finger, the joint pops really hard, and it didn't start happening until this morning. And I said, let me ask you this, man. Do you eat a lot of sugar? And he was like, no, not usually. I go, did you eat a lot of sugar driving this 3-hour drive out here? He goes, well, yeah, I ate a whole bag of M&Ms and some whatever and this and that, and had a soda and blah, blah, blah. And I go, dude, that's your problem. It's sugar. And that sugar, that processed sugar gets in your joints and it stops them from working right. And I go, quit eating sugar and it'll all go away. Well, we were there for a 3-day tournament, and then he came the next day. I go, hey, so how's your finger doing? Did you quit eating sugar? He goes, I did, and I can actually start moving it this morning. I go, sugar, man, quit poisoning your body and you won't have these problems. Same goes with our mind. Quit poisoning your mind. Watch what you feed it. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, listen now. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue in there, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. What he's saying is, listen, here's what you do. You focus on these things. You focus, you meditate, you concentrate, you make it part of your life. And it'll change everything. The problem is, we, for some reason, some people have to get tied up in drama. No, you don't. You need to protect your mind. You need to feed your mind good things. I got some verses for you I want you to write down on feeding your mind. And then I'm going to wrap up with this. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Hold on to God. Hold on to God. He can do far more for you and I in 2 seconds than what we can in 20 years. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I am your God, and I will hold you, and I will strengthen you. So when you feel like you don't have the energy to be positive and to fix and to feed, listen, you seek God's face. 4:19, Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. See, guys, none of us are in here alone. None of us are battling this alone. Not only do we have each other, but we have something greater than anything, and that's God. And if you're a child of God's, you can call on him. And listen, these are promises. They're not just words on a page. These are promises to you and me. Hebrews 13:6. So we may boldly, I love the word boldly. Do you know what that word boldly means? It literally means that I can come up and I can go, Dear God, I am here and I need you. Boldly. Boldly go before him. Don't come up to him all the time. Well, Lord, you know, I was thinking that I just kind of have this problem in God. I was just in. No, God says, man, just step up. I'm here. Boldly, that you may boldly say to the Lord, my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Guys, I'm telling you, when it comes to our attitude, we control it. But man, we have a helper. We have power. We have assistance that nobody else has. The problem is, do we believe it? The other problem is, can we get past ourselves, quit feeding our selfishness, and actually think about somebody else? Quit putting ourselves putting ourselves in front of others. We need to replace anger with love, fear with faith, complaining with gratitude, bitterness with forgiveness, judgment with acceptance, and stop feeling sorry for ourselves. That's what we need to do. Your attitude will determine your actions. As we go on in this series, we're going to look at other things that will build or destroy relationships. But if you don't adjust your attitude every time you approach someone, you're going to have struggles. You really will. It's not going to go your way. You're going to get upset, and then your attitude is going to get worse. The biggest thing that you can do to have success is not make it about you. That's what fights are all about. Somebody's not getting their own way. And then we have this attitude of revenge or hurting someone because someone didn't get their own way. And then we create bitter attitudes with everybody else. Guys, you control this. You control you. Someone once said that the one who makes you angry controls you. Why? Because you're giving yourself over to them. And then it creates bad spirit, bitterness, poor attitude every time. Every relationship will absolutely depend upon your attitude in it. Nothing will ever change that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and we love you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Father, as we have looked into your word, as we have been challenged today with your word to live boldly in your grace, in your power, Father, help us to make the proper adjustments to our attitude. Help us to push aside selfishness. Help us to stop making everything about us, and we make it about you, and we adjust our attitude and help our friend, our family, our neighbor, our co-worker. Father, help us to have the Christ-like attitude that we should have. Help us to exercise that. Father, give us the power and the strength and the sound mind to make decisions that are going to glorify you and make every situation a godly situation. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, my attitude is really horrible. I blame people. I focus on me. I do whatever it is that causes your attitude to be poor. Pastor, pray for me. If that's you, just raise your hand so I can pray for you right now. Amen. Hands up all over. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, for those who have created their own selfish world, Father, I pray that you would touch them. I pray that you would strengthen them. I pray that you would give them the spiritual discernment to make things about you and not about themselves. Father, for each and every one of us, I pray that you would help us to look at our loved ones or our friends or the lost world through your eyes and not our judgments, not our selfishness. Father, that you would get the glory. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, it's going to be real hard to call on His strength when He's not there. It's going to be real hard to lean on Him when He says, if you're not my child, you can't lean on me. And so today, if you wish to give your life to Christ, that's the only way you're going to get the strength of God and that you're going to get the power of God. It's the only way that we really forget about ourselves and think about others is when we try to become Christ-like instead of all about us. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, not only do you not have the hand of God on your life, not only do you not have the power of God in your life, but you also will never experience the presence of God at the end of your life. You won't go to heaven. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father except through me. And so if you're here today and you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, you believe He conquered death and hell, and that He's on the right hand of the Father, you don't understand it all, but you believe it, but you've never given your life to Christ, well, I would love to give you the opportunity to change that today. And so if it's your desire to receive Christ as your Savior, then you quietly in your heart, you pray this prayer. Mind you, the words are not what saves you. It is your attitude toward these words. You believe them. They are sincere. The words are just a roadmap to guide you. The words are just a process that you have a time stamp that you can say, no, this day I gave my life to Christ. And so if that's your desire, you pray this prayer quietly within your own heart. Dear Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. I do wrong. I've done wrong. I have sinned against you, Father in heaven, and you only. But today I believe on your Son, Jesus Christ. Today I believe He died on the cross. I believe that He gave His life for me that I could have life. And so right now, I receive Jesus as my Savior. I repent of all my sin. I am no longer going to walk in the direction of destruction. I'm going to turn and I am going to walk in your way. I am going to adjust my lifestyle to honor you, my attitude to bring you glory.